Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Sanho Tree. Sanho is a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he has directed its drug policy project since 1998. The project works to end the domestic and international war on drugs and replace it with policies that promote public health and safety. Sanho is also a former military and diplomatic historian and has worked for Harry Belafonte and edited Covert Action Quarterly, a magazine of investigative journalism. I met Sanho, probably was close to 10 years ago at the Conference for World Affairs in Boulder, Colorado. And then I followed him on Twitter and found his Twitter stream to be very entertaining and educational and provocative. And I've been a huge fan ever since. So it's a real thrill to have you, Sanho. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Thanks. The pleasure is mine.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. We're really looking forward to your favorite tools.
Sure. Yeah. Not going anywhere since we're on lockdown from the
Exactly. Appropriately, since this coronavirus has a lipid shell that can be easily dissolved and attacked with soap, you've got a magnetic soap holder you want to recommend.
Yes.
One that's dirt cheap also.
Incredibly cheap, which is ironic because when I first met you about 10 years ago, I was in Boulder, Colorado, mm-hmm. and we stayed at these nice houses. The locals would house us. And the person who housed me was very, very wealthy. The house was basically an art museum. And so my guest bathroom had this little soap holder that was like a marble pyramid with a long wire cantilevered over it. And on the bottom of it was a magnet that attached to that stuck itself into a bar of soap. So it just hung there beautifully and elegantly. And I thought, oh, I have to get one of these. So I go up and look at it online. And of course, it's from a museum gift shop, and it was like $200 or $300. And so I typed in, magnetic soap holder on eBay to see what might pop up. Sure enough, they make these things in Asia. And this one costs now $1.79. You order from Shanghai, it takes about 3 weeks. There's the shipping's included, but $1.79, you really can't beat this.
And so that is so awesome.
Of this thing is that it's just a cheap little, stainless steel looking. Gizmo. It's got an adhesive on it, so you stick it to the wall next to your sink, and it's got a little metal disc attached to a magnet, kind of like a soda bottle cap, right? And you shove that soda bottle cap type looking thing into your bar of nice soap, and so your soap will then hang from this magnet, and no more dissolving soap bars in your soap dish. If you like to buy like fancy Neutrogena or these really nice soaps that just turn to mush the moment you put it in the dish, this has saved me so many bars of soap.
And the cap, a little cap that you press into it, that doesn't pull out very easily once you put it in, because that's what I would expect to happen with the magnet is when you pull it off.
Yeah, so the first thing you do is you kind of soften the soap a little bit, for a few minutes under water. Uh-huh. Then you push the cap into it and just let it sit overnight until it hardens up, and you'll get a very good seal on it. It generally won't come off, but you can always just stick it back in there.
Right.
I love it. So I just bought it. And it's coming on May 27th, so it'll take a while.
Get a couple, because they're great little housewarming gifts.
Yeah, you're right. I should get a couple. $1.96 was the total, including shipping. So how can I complain about that? I'm looking forward to that. That's great. I love it. I actually prefer bar soap to the liquid stuff. I think it's a millennial thing. Millennials are supposedly like they're liquid, but give me a bar anytime. Yeah,
proper soap bar anytime.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's another interesting one. A self-cleaning cat litter box. That sounds pretty cool.
So it's not one of these a $400 electric operated things that scoop your litter automatically. No. This is $36.99. It's called the Omega Paw Roll and Clean Self-Cleaning Litter Box. And it's a little bit hard to describe, but let me try to explain. So imagine kind of a box-shaped litter box with a round opening that your cat goes into. And the bottom quadrant of this box has a grill around it. And the grill allows the clean litter that hasn't been clumped up to fall through. And it's the clean litter is trapped in a reservoir. And so when you tilt this box 90 degrees, or a little over 90 degrees, all the clumps of litter fall and roll over that grill and into a pull-out tray that sits on top of the grill. So literally, it takes me about 8 or 9 seconds every morning to clean my litter box for two cats, right? And my friends can't believe it. And then I show them that it literally takes less than 10 seconds to clean a litter box, because for so many years, every morning I had the same ritual. You know, you sit there with your little scoop thing and try to scoop out the little golden nuggets. And for years, I was convinced my cats believed that the only reason I kept them around was that their purpose in life was to produce these magical golden nuggets that were so valuable because I spent every morning mining for them. So they thought they were doing their duty, so to speak.
Oh, wow. And the cats don't have any trouble using it. They get it. They don't mind going into a little cave.
Not at
to
all.
Do it.
No, not at all. And in fact, you can watch this on YouTube. Just look up Omega Paw, and you can watch the rolling effect. It's literally less than 10 seconds. You know, whoever invented this deserves a Nobel Prize.
This is so cool. I love it. I actually tried to buy this, but it said that the eBay seller is currently on vacation. So I'm bookmarking this.
You can get it on Amazon as well, I think.
Okay, I'll take a look. So that's really cool. And do you find that it does, like, it gets all of the nuggets?
Yeah, just about 90%. So it's got a hard plastic bottom. You don't need a plastic liners or anything. Mm-hmm. And so when you invert the box 90 plus degrees, just give it a tap on the bottom, and whatever clumps that are formed that are stuck to the bottom will fall off and roll into the pull-out tray.
That's so cool. And how many cats do you have?
Two,
okay. We have three, so it's like a twice a day deal for me.
Yeah. I see the Omega Paw Premium, and I'm wondering if you have any opinions about that.
Premium.
There's premium, and then there's another version. Whether it makes any difference. Premium
is now. I think it might be a little bit bigger.
It's bigger. I guess if you have a big cat, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, or multiple cats.
It features a stronger, more durable sifting grate, stronger locking clips, chrome accents. There you go. That's what you're paying for. Beautiful chrome accents.
Get chrome bumpers.
Yeah. And an integrated litter step. Oh, and it has a little, like a step to help maybe older cats off. That might be actually something. We have an older cat, so that would be a good one to get. Well, okay.
My cat is Fidel Castro, so he doesn't want anything that bourgeois.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are on a roll here, and I see you are like you're an eBay kind of guy.
I'm addicted to eBay.
This is something I've actually been looking at and wanting to hear someone tell me about it. It's these LED garage work lights.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're incredibly bright, and they're very cheap. And it's kind of hard to describe. It's a deformable, they're called deformable LED lights. That's what you would search for. Mm-hmm. And they come in a range, as low as 40 watts up to 200, 300 watts. And you can use them for wide open areas like garages. You can use them as grow lamps if you're into indoor gardening, or flooding the room with just really soft, bright light. And there are two types. It's a like a regular floodlight type of thing, except it's got these little three or four panels that fold out,
kind of like wings. They're like wings,
like a wing.
Or propeller.
And on those wings, like a overhead ceiling fan kind of arrangement, right? And so on those blades are the LED diodes. And sometimes they're bare, so they're incredibly bright and a little bit blinding if you're going to use it for a living room type of situation. But some of them also come with a white translucent cover, so it softens the light. Mm-hmm. But I love these things because you can adjust each of the flower petals, the fan blades, different angles. So if you have a hard to light nook or something like that, you could really have some fun with this.
Oh, nice!
And they have Do they have like a standard light bulb screw base? Is that what they're doing? They're screwing into a normal socket.
Exactly. So it's a standard E26 or E27 socket.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work both in the U.S. and Europe. And the price range is anywhere from $10 to $40. I always order mine straight from China because it's a lot cheaper that way.
Yeah.
And the more expensive ones are presumably more powerful, have brighter.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The advantage of this over, say, like the strips, the long strips, is that you have more control. You can kind of it's more of a spotlight in that sense.
Yeah, a spotlight or floodlight, depending on how you position the blades. But yeah, it's far more directional and I think just brighter in general.
And how many do you have set up in your garage or workroom, Sanho? Do you have just one or?
I have one for plants, and then I have one in my living room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in your living room.
Because I like to use reflected indirect light, so I shine it towards the ceiling, and it just gives me soft light throughout the room.
Oh,
cool!
Yeah, you can put it like a lampstand, just pointing up to the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
So those blades will rotate 180 degrees.
More like 90 degrees. You can get good angles from them. There are two types of these blades: some that fold upwards, and some fold downwards. So you just want to make sure you get the right one for your.
Got it. Oh, okay. I am seeing it now. I see what you mean. The ones that fold downwards, the light is coming from the outside. So if you fold them all the way up, they're going to be hitting the ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's important to note, is to see the orientation of the blades.
Hmm. Yeah.
I like the idea of using them as a kind of a living room lamp, very avant-garde-ish, projected onto the ceiling. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. That's kind of indirect lighting.
Yeah.
Really nice. Okay, you're costing me some money here.
Are there only one color? Are they all the daylight or?
They have daylight and warm light as well.
Okay.
Very cool.
And are these just Chinesium, just a Chinese OEM? Or there's no brand, I don't think.
Yeah, they're hard to find in the U.S. I don't see them at Home Depot or anywhere else these days. Yet, but there are a lot of Chinese OEMs.
Now, this final pick of yours is something that I am familiar with, and I really like it. Why don't you tell us about this this scale?
So it's just a tiny little digital luggage scale. And, you know, for years, I used to use this one I bought like 20 years ago, and it was the size of a brick, literally, and it used a bunch of AA batteries, and it weighed about a pound. So it's not something you want to take with you inside your luggage. Mm-hmm. But now they have these tiny ones that literally fit in the palm of your hand, and it weighs just an ounce or two, and it's powered by a button battery the size of a quarter. And best of all, you can get it for $2.96, which includes shipping.
You're going to break our bank on this one.
Now it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to arrive because you're ordering it from China, but still, $2.96 is a pretty good price. They're so cheap that I put one of these in each of my suitcases. So I always have it when I travel, and I never have to pay the baggage fees again.
That's really nice. And is it switchable between kilograms and pounds?
Yes, very easy.
Yeah,
and it comes with a strap that you and it's got a little bayonet clip, and you put it around your luggage handle so you can lift up the luggage and weigh it that way. But you can also weigh lots of other things. So if I need to weigh my cats, for instance, to see how they're growing, I'll put them in a shopping bag, a paper bag, and then use that to lift them up, and voila.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah, I've done that for packages too, where I'm mailing something, and I'll just put it into a big plastic bag and then use this thing.
Use it like instead of having a scale. This is really cool.
It comes in really handy.
Right. So this is really cool. And you know, all four of your suggestions, Sanho, are from eBay. Maybe you're an eBay power user. Do you have any tips about how you're finding these things on eBay or using eBay in general that you would want to pass on?
Yeah, I really like eBay, and I just don't like giving Jeff Bezos any money. But also, a lot of these things now have free shipping, right? So, especially if you're ordering from China. So basically anything that fits into a small package, it's usually include has free shipping these days. Right. And you're paying about a quarter to a third of the price you might pay for the same item once it reaches the United States and goes through a third party and they put their markup on it.
Have you tried like AliExpress or Alibaba in terms of if you're interested in kind of direct shipments from China, do you find eBay is better than AliExpress or Alibaba?
I haven't ordered from AliExpress. I sometimes look at their Twitter feed just for ideas of neat gadgets and things, but then I'll look up the same thing on eBay.
I see.
These vendors often market on different platforms.
So that sounds interesting. AliExpress has a Twitter feed that shows interesting things, interesting finds.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds a little dangerous, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Very cool, though. I'm going to check that out.
And do you sell things on eBay?
I don't. I don't have the discipline to,
Right. So for you, this is mostly an alternative to Amazon, then?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. But it's also a lot cheaper because you're not. Sometimes you're buying from a small dealer who doesn't have a whole lot of overhead, and they're just dealing from their garage. So you can get it for pretty cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That sounds good. So the Twitter feed is for AliExpress official is AliExpress_EN because if you just do the regular AliExpress, it takes you to AliExpress Russia.
I just like the ease of eBay in terms of customer support, and if there's disputes or something, it's it's a pretty straightforward process.
Sure.
Okay, this is really cool. So Sanha, we met, like I said, at a conference of World Affairs in Boulder, and we were on a few different panels together. I was really interested in your work, and I would love to hear your work in drug policy. It's been over 20 years that you've been doing this. Are you encouraged by the direction you've seen towards looking at drugs as a kind of a public health issue rather than a criminal issue?
Yeah, we've made tremendous progress, particularly in this hemisphere and in Europe as well. Other parts of the world, not so much. They're going the opposite direction.
Right.
And so that's a lot of what I'm working on now is situations like the Philippines, where President Duterte, who is kind of a Trumpian figure in the Philippines, he got elected 6 months before Trump, using the same kind of audacious lies and intimidation and threats. And he's behaving like a despot, basically. But he campaigned on the promise of killing. He said, Hitler killed 3 million Jews, which is incorrect, 6 million. But he says, I would be happy to kill 3 million Filipinos to wage his drug war.
Whoa.
And he said he campaigned on the idea that Manila, the fish in Manila Bay would grow fat from all the corpses he would throw into the bay of drug users. His official spokespeople say, don't take him literally, take him figuratively. But he has been doing that. So the Commission on Human Rights, an independent governmental body in the Philippines, estimates the death toll could be as high as 27,000. I've seen even higher by some estimates, but we'll never know because the police won't investigate a lot of these killings, or they say they don't have enough evidence. So they're listed as just extrajudicial killings or just murders. But a lot of this is being done by the police or their paid henchmen and their hit squads. So they're coming up with death lists, watch lists of people they suspect of using drugs and making threats against them. And eventually they'll send a death squad or hitmen after them.
Why would it be in Duterte's interest to do this?
So he is a classic authoritarian, tough guy, kind of like Trump, kind of like President Bolsonaro in Brazil, another basically a fascist. And he is using this as a modern day pogrom. If you can think back to 19th century Tsarist Russia, right, when they waged pogroms against Jews, it was a simple way to scapegoat one sector of the population. And you take a cornucopia of social ills. many of which are structural in nature, poverty, neglect, abandonment by the state, despair, alienation. And you take all that stuff and you thrust it onto one demographic group and say, they're the problem. If you just unleash holy hell on them, get rid of them, kill them, do whatever you want to them, we won't bother you if you do that. And Duterte has actually said this, you know, if you know a drug user, pick up a gun. I won't prosecute you.
Oh my God.
And so it's an exterminationist ideology, but it's one that can be used to persecute all kinds of different groups within a country. So right now, the easiest prey are drug users because they've been so thoroughly dehumanized under his administration. But you could turn that, once you have the apparatus to track individuals, to locate them, and to execute them without judicial review, without due process, once you condition your police to do that, you can turn that whole apparatus on the dime and go after labor organizers, LGBTQ organizers, feminists, anyone who gets in your way, right? And that's what Duterte has done in the Philippines. He does the same thing that Trump is doing in terms of waging a war against the judiciary, against the press, against everybody. So he silenced a lot of his critics. When Trump says lock her up, Duterte has actually done that to opposition senators on trumped up charges for which there is no bail. And so they've been locked up for years awaiting trial on basically he's waging lawfare against them, alleging that they, you know, misfiled a form or misspelled something in an application. Whatever it takes, his judges will allow him to persecute these people. So that's why it's so important to follow the Philippines, because it's it gives you a sense of where Trump is headed and the blueprint of how to achieve those kinds of, you know, nefarious goals.
Do you follow the kind of the drug world in the larger sense? Like, say, right now there's a little bit of a reevaluating of psychedelics and yes, their roles in the world. And is that sort of part of what you look at as well?
So drug policy is one of the most interdisciplinary subjects I've ever worked on. Mm-hmm. And I was a World War II historian in a previous career, so that's pretty interdisciplinary. You know, how do you wage a world war? But the drug war is actually even more complicated than that, because in World War II, there was a lot of clarity about which side you were on, right? And who the good guys and bad guys were. Drug war is much more complicated, and the solutions are very often counterintuitive. And one of the areas that is most interesting right now is the breakthrough in psychedelic research that's been, you know, blessed by the DEA. and all these government agencies are allowing serious researchers to experiment with things that were once, you know, Schedule One, demonized psychedelics, LSD, psilocybin mushrooms, MDMA or ecstasy.
5-MeO,
These things were originally developed as therapeutic treatments, to use as medicine. Right. Until the 60s, and you know, he's got wind of them, and Nixon waged his war on drugs, and that was that. But now we're finally able to re-explore this technology that has been suppressed for so long, and finding it has tremendous value, particularly for people who are confronting trauma, PTSD, end-of-life anxieties. So some of the most interesting studies have been around psilocybin mushrooms and late-stage cancer patients who are facing death. And they find that one dose of these mushrooms can have long-lasting effects, up to a year of a better feeling of tranquility and serenity and coming to peace with yourself and the universe.
Right. And there's the whole work with the 5-MeOs and others on the veterans coming back from war, and very few treatments of them helping with their post stress disorders as well. And so that's all the kind of the big view that you have. Then you get into like the fentanyl and opioids as well. Is that part of what you're looking at?
Yeah, fentanyl crisis, the overdose crisis we're facing, and things like the Trump wall, for instance. I never thought I would have to spend a moment dealing with such an idiotic concept as the Trump wall, but here we are. We got the longest government shutdown in history, thanks to the wall.
What does the wall do in terms of drug trafficking and behavioral change around drugs?
Practically nothing, because the drugs are not coming through the desert. It doesn't make sense for cartels to, you know, put their precious cargo on some migrants who are carrying their worldly possessions on their back and jugs of water to cross the desert. Mm-hmm. How many kilos of weed or you know, Matthew, you think they're able to carry reliably? These are not professional smugglers either. Most of the drugs that come through this country come through our legal ports of entry. Right, they come in hidden in semi, trailers, packed in all kinds of produce and canned goods and every nook and cranny. A lot of it comes through narco tunnels that crisscross the U.S.-Mexican border. They have very sophisticated rail systems, ventilation, electricity. They can move tons at a time. So the idea of moving a few kilos over vast stretches of desert, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Do you have like a holistic drug policy that you would like to see implemented worldwide?
Well, yes. First of all, starting with decriminalization, it makes no sense to punish users. If you believe that drugs cause harm to the individual, what sense does it make for the state to harm them even more by throwing them into prison? Having them associate with violent people, ruining their job prospects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just maximizes the harm. And I also believe in drug regulation, prohibition doesn't mean we control drugs. It means we give up the right to control drugs. And therefore, the people who control this economy are, by definition, criminals and very often organized crime. They have a very different set of objectives compared to legal merchants of drugs that we've legalized, like cannabis, for instance, right? Or alcohol. Alcohol system works in this country because we give private shopkeepers every incentive not to sell to minors, not to do illegal things, because they'll lose their license, they'll be prosecuted, all manner of calamity will befall them. But when it comes to drugs, we have no such incentives. And they think, well, if I'm going to risk doing this, I might as well risk my, risk it for the highest profit available, right? Maximize my profit. And so you don't want to smuggle, 50% pure heroin. You want to smuggle 100% pure heroin. You want to, it's kind of like alcohol prohibition turned a nation of beer drinkers and wine drinkers into a nation of hard liquor drinkers. Because if you were a bootlegger during prohibition, the last thing you wanted to smuggle was a keg of beer on your back.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So there is kind of a holistic policy that could that's installable or exportable or whatever you want to call it, that is implementable.
Yes.
And is there any country or countries that actually have implemented it, their part of it, and that you would point to?
Yes. So here's the daunting thing for most people. They think, well, we'll never find utopia, the perfect, system. But in fact, elements of that perfect system exist all over the world. It's a matter of assembling these pieces of the mosaic so people can understand how this might eventually fit into one coherent system. But if you look at, for instance, Portugal, back in 2000, they decided to, they had a huge heroin crisis, serious addiction problem. They decided to end drug prohibition. You could not get arrested
for all drugs,
possession, for any drug possession. So personal use was tolerated, was permitted. And they took those policing resources and put them in the social services, public health. They've had fantastic outcomes. If you looked at the Portuguese statistics blind compared to other EU nations, they're actually doing much better. And yet they have a completely radical approach to this. It's still not legal to traffic drugs, and they don't have legal markets to buy these things, which is, I think, the next step. But the fact that they're not arresting people and using, a public health frame and a social service frame to approach this problem, I think is the right approach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other countries like Switzerland and Canada allow prescription of different pharmaceutical drugs for people who have failed at all other treatment modalities. If they're going to continue to use opioids or other drugs, then it makes much more sense for the state to say, hey, we'd rather you didn't do this, but if you're going to, let us educate you. Let us give you a pure supply so you don't overdose based on contaminants and things. You don't know the purity of the drug. And you're not supporting organized crime or other cartels or and such. So they figured out ways to short circuit a lot of the harms of mm-hmm. these things and try to minimize the harms. So that philosophy overall is called harm reduction, and it's one I support very much.
Mm. Sanho, if people want to find out more about your work at the Institute for Policy Studies, especially regarding the drug policy project, where's the best place for them to go?
They can go to my website, which is ips-dc.org, and click on drug policy. Or you can follow me on Twitter, which is at Sanho Tree is my handle.
Yeah. And let me just say, everyone listening, you must follow Sanho's Twitter. It's awesome.
You're very kind.
Love it. Yeah, it's so good. Well, Sanho, this has been really great talking to you. Great reconnecting after all of these years. And you're doing excellent work, and you are an eBay expert. So thanks so much for joining
us. Yeah, it was a great finds. I really appreciate your sensibility too. Yeah, the idea of direct imports from China, that's all real well and good. Thank you for the suggestions.
Hey, everybody, it's your co-host, Mark, and I wanted to let you know that we have a lot more going on here in Cool Tools than just this podcast. We have our flagship website where we review a new tool every day. That's at cool-tools.org. We also have 4 different newsletters. We have this podcast. We have a YouTube channel where we review tools. And if you like what you hear and see and read, the best way to help us out is by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/cooltools and donate at any level you wish. You can even contribute $1 a month, and that would mean a lot to us. The money that you give us will go towards paying for our transcribing costs, editing videos, and editing the podcast. It goes towards paying contributors who write the reviews for us. It goes towards our equipment costs, our hosting costs, and it supports our very small company of 3 people. This week, I wanted to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters who have been giving us at least $2 a month. And if you give us $2 a month, we'll give you a shout out online. And this week, I would like to thank Michael Sacochia, Molly Starr, M. Velderman, Opposable Thumbs, Pamela Cooley, Patrick Weyer, Paul Hosey, Randy Fisher, Stuart Burroughs Brand, Synaptic Sam, Therese Schwartz, Tom Hawkins, Tom Markham, What Bear, Javier Pangolin, David Lang, Eric Byers, Sean Hartley, Stephen Powell, Greg Lichtscheidt, John Hobson, Adam Bristol, Adam Naher, Anonymous, Bill Kempthorne, Bruce I. Niles, Chris Woodruff, C. Kolos, Daryl Flynn, Egg Fleegoff, Eric Hanschrau, Eric Hoover, Godfrey Saldana, Jay Skiles, John M. Larson, Jude Galligan, Kenneth Gilman, and Lucas Frank. Thank you very much for supporting the show, and we will see you next week.